a good Christmas under the circumstances. I've discovered this morning, talking to my brother in Peterborough, his daughter didn't make it home, so, because they went into Peterborough, went to Tier 4 earlier than us, so she was stuck in a house with one other friend, and they had to spend Christmas Day separately. I heard that a Santa had a problem in his workshop, as many of his workers had to self-isolate. Thank you. So the audience here is not enjoying that one. I also hear that Boris Johnson had a problem with their Christmas cake in 10 Downing Street because he did not know how many tiers he should have by Christmas Day. Okay. Let's just finish there. On this last Sunday of 2020, I thought it would be good to have a time of reflection on the year we've had and a time to look forward to what God has in store for 2021. So let's just look back. The world. COVID-19 was first emerging late 2019. Can you imagine that? We've only really had 1 year of COVID-19. The first two UK cases were confirmed on the 30th of January. And in fact, we didn't actually have the first death in the UK until the 5th of March. From March to June, we had a national lockdown, number one. We thought, hey, we've come out of it. We can go on holidays. But then October, we had another 4 weeks of national lockdown. And as of yesterday, we in Cambridge have gone into Tier 4. So we're back again. In the meantime, the UK left the EU on the 31st of January. Remember that? And the deal has seems to be finally been agreed on that. A number of companies have either gone into administration or closed branches. Topshop, Edinburgh Woolen Mill, DW Sport, Harvey's, Monsoon, Oasis, Debenhams, Cathkidson, Laura Ashley, Colucci's, Cafe Rouge, Bella Italia, Pizza Express, Zizi, Patamonja, and on and on and on and on and on. The world have had really tough time. What about our church? At the end of March, we said goodbye to Jim East, who then had 3 months sabbatical. Tim then announced that he was leaving to join the army and officially finished at the end of August. So we lost two ministers in a year. The deacons started meeting the candidates in July. So in less than 6 months, we're here. Steve preached with a view on 8th of November, and the church voted to invite him as our new minister at the special church meeting on the 17th of November. And as I said already, Steve starts his work on the 3rd of January. It must be the record time for St. Ace to in 6 months to get to this point. And we really praise God for his involvement and work in that. And his blessing. In the meantime, we've been in and out of the building on four Sundays, and it's lovely to see our audience here too. But with church meetings, home groups, prayer meetings, coffee mornings, all sorts of things happening on Zoom. I didn't know what Zoom was. Zoom was a hit song in 1982, which got to number two. Now we know Zoom to be something different. Okay, I can see those of my age and above recognize that song. Okay. Another big effect on the pandemic was that, sadly, the Living Stones Cafe had to close its doors in September. We also received the keys back to 40 St. Andrew Street on the 31st of October. That will give us something exciting to do in future. We'll be discussing that with each other and with God in the coming months. But the building hasn't been quiet. It Takes a City has been operating since the end of March. And the St. A's Kitchen opened on 23rd of April. Since then, together with Winter Comfort and Salvation Army, it's contributed to over 60,000 meals. And there are people still being fed today as we speak. We've had people joining in on Zoom from all over the world, including Chad, Russia, Australia, and Sweden, and have had guest speakers, including Lloyd Porter, Pastor Andre, Gary Strapsall, Paul and Sarah Brown, Ali Bollington, as well as local preachers. In March, Ezra was born, Ray, as I call the church baby. Some of the young people had their exams cancelled, including my two boys. Some started new school, new secondary school, sixth form, university job, under very difficult circumstances. Some got engaged. I wonder who that is. Some have been in hospital. Alison has had her chemotherapy and had an operation in the past week, and I understand that went well. So praise God for that. And we've been praying daily for that, for Alison and the family. We've had members joining and said goodbye to others who've moved on, including Adam Woodhouse, who's become ordained minister for URC. So what a year this has been. But how was your year? Has it been tough? As far as I know, we've not had any positive cases within the church members, but we know of families of members who've had COVID. But have you had to self-isolate? Has your work been affected? Has your workload really increased dramatically? And we do remember those in NHS. Have you had Zoom fatigue? Because I know I have these meetings. Have you been lonely? You know you're not alone. In fact, the entire world is going through the same, and it's just one of those things that the kids will learn about it in history because it's such a global event. And you know there are those much worse off than you. But that does not make it any easier, does it? Is it going to be much better next year? We've had good news about vaccines, but then bad news about new variants. Will there be more variants? Will the vaccines work with these new ones? Will there be more prolonged lockdowns? Will my job get any easier? Will I still have a job? Will we be able to see our family and friends again anytime soon? We glory in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Well, what does suffering produces perseverance mean? Well, ESV actually translates the same word, perseverance, as endurance. Now, let me just tell you a story about a Japanese sword, katana. In fact, my grandmother is from a famous big samurai family, which makes my kids 1/8 of a samurai, and they're really proud of that. I'm a 1/8 of a samurai. Anyway, all the family katana have disappeared long ago. These katanas are made by repeatedly heating and hammering and folding the metal again and again and again. And apparently what it does, this process of heating and beating it, does two things. It removes impurities and improves strength. Does your life feel like that sometimes? Repeatedly being heated up and hammered. You think, what more can happen in my life? Why do challenges keep on coming? But this process maybe removes impurities and improves strength. You become a stronger steel. You change your character. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. In fact, James, the brother of Jesus, says similar thing to Jewish Christians in his letters. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And he goes on, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So by enduring your suffering, your character changes, and you become more mature and more complete, hopefully. So on this point, let me just share with you something. I've shared it with deacons, actually. And as I mentioned, the deacons met many ministerial candidates since July this year. And please do not misunderstand me from what I'm about to say. It's not at all a criticism of some of the people that we met. It's just simply an observation. And of course, we've had to be very open with our candidates this time around about where we are and how we got here, particularly because we needed to explain why we're looking for a short-term interim minister rather than a long-term permanent one. But in some of the conversations, I couldn't help noticing that we as a church and me as a person and the person we were talking to were not quite at the same place. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that they had not been through what we had been through, that they had not had the years of thinking through the issues that we've had to face, talking to God about it, listening to God for his answers, sometimes screaming at God, saying, why is this happening? Why is it so bad? But again, I stress, it's not their fault. Some of them have had very successful ministries. We've had really glowing CVs from some of them, and that's very good for them. But it just felt to me that we were further along this particular path that we're following, that we were given to follow, than them. Okay, so maybe those people will never have to go down those paths again. And again, that's perfectly fine. But for whatever reason, we've been traveling on this path for the last however many years, and we as a church, it felt to me, have changed our character through persevering. And certainly me as a person, I've also felt that I've changed over the years. And I could just feel this in our interviews, how we've actually progressed as a church. Now, let me read you a passage, a little bit long one from a book that I have also shared with deacons. The book is called The Book Your Pastor Wishes You Would Read, and then in brackets, but he's too embarrassed to ask. And it's by a person called Christopher Ash, who's actually at Tyndall House around the corner, and he's on the preaching team at Stag. So he's local, and this is what he's written. And it's a lovely, it's a great book. I would recommend it. And he says this. I've lost the page again. Sorry, bear with me. This is a problem with the Kindle. Ah, sorry. Jeremy, Angela, and Mike had been senior members of the church for many years. They had seen pastors come and pastors go. They rather liked the sense that they, as a group, who were looked up as the experienced old-timers, were the real power in the church. When a new young pastor came, he led the church in a careful review of the gospel needs in the area, with wide consultation and some good times of corporate prayer, at the end of which he proposed that the church prune some of the ministries that didn't seem to be reaching non-Christians at all, and develop a deliberate and intentional focus on reaching the large population of mainly Islamic immigrants in the area. Many, even most of the church members, could see that this was a strong gospel decision. In their hearts, Jeremy, Angela, and Mike could see that too. But it had not been their idea, and they resented it. When it came to the decision-making meetings, the full weight of their seniority, and indeed the effective power of veto, were brought to bear to stop this initiative. The pastor felt discouraged and frustrated. And the writer says this, his virtue is this: let the pastor lead and be zealous in following the direction of that leadership, so long as it is in a gospel direction. Our pastor serves us by leading us, by directing the affairs of the church well. We are to submit to their authority in Hebrews 13. Submission is deeply countercultural because our innate sinfulness makes us desperately reluctant to submit to anyone. The Bible teaches various different forms of submission, including that of citizens to civil authorities, wives to husbands, children to parents, slaves to masters, and church members to pastors. These kinds of submissions are all different, but each is in some way an expression of submission to God. Submission of church members to pastors, like the other kinds of submission above, can never be absolute. Absolute authority is given to Christ alone, and no human authority, a tyrannical government, an unjust employer, a domineering husband, an abusive parent, or a controlling pastor, should ever be allowed to usurp that good authority of Christ. But there is an authority that is proper to pastors. One way in which this is subverted is when the unpaid leadership of a church view the pastor as an employee. We're employing you to do certain tasks for us. You're accountable to us. You report to us. While churches configure their leadership in different ways, and will usually have some healthy form of shared leadership, we must not forget that the New Testament picture of pastors is that they follow the pattern of Jesus, a great pastor. They serve the flock by leading. When we call a pastor, we call a leader who is accountable to Christ, the great shepherd, and not primarily to us. Even with shared leadership, we should let the one entrusted with senior leadership actually lead. I'm not reading that to have another discussion about our past few years. I'm not reading that to make any criticism of anyone. But my point is this. Although not exactly the same, we have been there. And hopefully we've learned. We read this and we actually understand. Not just by head, but also in heart. More importantly, we now know not to make the same mistake again. We have changed our character because we persevered. Folks, we are still here. We were not where we were several years ago. And that is a real positive thing. So let me ask you this. Did we go through what we went through because we made any mistakes? Yes, we did make many mistakes. But would we be in a different place? Would we be a more mature and complete church? Maybe. But I actually once had this conversation with Jim East about life, as you do with Jim. And I expressed to him my view that life is a continuous series of crossroads. Every time you arrive at this crossroad, you discuss with God which road you should take or I should take. Of course, there is a road that God most wants you to take. But many times we take a different turn. What I said to Jim was that it is my belief that so long as we keep our eyes fixed on God, we will still end up at the same place, albeit with a lot of details. We've turned many corners, folks. We've made many detours. But so long as we keep our eyes fixed on God, we will still get to where God wants us to. How do we know that? Because we have hope. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. James, again, brother of Jesus, says later in the chapter, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That is the hope, that we will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised to we who love him. So here we are, on the last Sunday of 2020. Just think back where you were in January. You had no idea of the year you were going to have. We as a church had no idea the year we were going to have. And it has been a trial. But the life is full of trials. So let's remember Paul's words to the Romans again, to glory in our sufferings, because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Let's look forward to 2021 with thanksgiving and praise. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let me read that again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is the church text the deacons have chosen for 2021. Happy New Year to you all. Amen. We finish